I think being here every day that we're open, having my hands and eyes on every pie, and just being with like my wife and two great coworkers allows a lot more space for experimentation and just kind of like continuing that journey of like perfecting your pizza and finding what you like.
Scott Rivera grew up in two worlds, the pizza-dense environment of Brooklyn, as well as the pizza-challenged wasteland of New Mexico. So how did he end up in the Pacific Northwest? His wife's job, actually. But that love of pizza never went away, and he's been searching for that sweet spot at his namesake ever since. The story of Scotty's Pizza Parlor, straight ahead.
I need a deep dish sausage and a thin pepperoni for here.
This is Pizza City, the podcast dedicated to the art, craft, and passion behind some of the world's greatest pizzas. I'm Steve Dolinsky, author of Pizza City USA and founder of Pizza City USA Tours in Chicago. Hello, pizza nerds. Great to have you along with us for another edition of Pizza City. Very excited to talk about the Pacific Northwest again today, but before we get there, we're going to start in the Midwest because I want to remind you all of the first ever Chicago Pizza Festival coming up July 23rd and 24th here in the West Loop, working out a deal with the Ace Hotel in Chicago, so that's going to be our base of operations. As I mentioned earlier, Chris Bianco, Dan Richer, Laura Meyer, and Francisco Magoya of Modernist Pizza, a few of the VIPs coming in to be a part of this event. So excited to share my city with all of you. Also, last weekend I was in New York. I don't know if any of you follow us on social media, but went to a couple of great pizza places. Took my son to Joe's, which was a highlight, late after a show at the Village Vanguard. It was so New York. And went to a couple places, and we'll be featuring one of them on a future podcast. But we begin today in Portland, Oregon again. So I don't know if some of you saw this news a month or two back. Nathan Mervold and Modernist Pizza, the folks there out in Seattle, called Portland, Oregon, the best pizza town in America. They made a very strong case for it. There aren't a ton of styles there, but I would say over the course of a couple of days when I visited there about a month or so ago, I hit a half a dozen pizzerias, and there are some stellar ones we are highlighting now and into the next year. Today is really part two of a series of three in a row from the Rose City, highlighting the serious crusts and the bakers behind them. The scene in Portland is really, I think it's all about bakers. They really take the dough extremely seriously. Not that other people don't take it seriously, but they really focus on the dough. We've actually got a couple of more shows coming from Portland. I'm going to save them out in the next year. I'm going to space them out. By the way, for those of you wondering why no Ken Forkish from Ken's Artisan Pizza, we were scheduled to talk to him, but he was off in Hawaii when we were in town. So Ken, love you, but next time. Okay, so 2 weeks ago, Sarah Minnick told us how she went down the rabbit hole of artisan bread in order to make better pizza at Lovely's 5050. This week, we stop by Scotty's Pizza Parlor, a joint where Scotty is making pretty much every pie that comes out of the oven. There are a lot of shout-outs on this week's show, by the way, so if you don't know who I'm talking about or what we're trying to get across, please feel free to reach out to me on Instagram, Pizza City USA. I will fill you in. Scott was kind enough to come in on a Sunday, his day off, to show me how he works and how he builds a pair of pizzas, both inspired by his love of great pizza in Brooklyn. Now, I started off, as I do all of our shows, by asking him about his first pizza memory. Scott Rivera, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. This is kind of an honor and a surprise to be on the show. I've listened for so long. So
I'd love to hear that. Love to hear that. As you then probably know, we always ask our guests about their first pizza memory. So do you recall yours?
Well, I'm from Brooklyn originally. Moved away when I was a kid, but I definitely remember going to Smiling Pizzeria, informally known as Smiley's, on 7th Avenue and 9th Street, usually with my dad or friends, right before or after going to Prospect Park, hanging out.
So this was, you'd be presented with slices behind a case, you'd choose a slice, they'd reheat it for you, it would be foldable, maybe a little bit of grease?
Absolutely, yeah. It's classic, you know, quintessential New York slice shop.
So in terms of, I mean, you have an advantage. You're living here in the Pacific Northwest now, but you have this childhood experience, your PIG syndrome, as I say, your pizza I grew up eating syndrome. You really have this great wealth of knowledge in terms of pizza understanding and what good pizza can be and should be, yeah?
For sure. I think that's probably like the driving force behind all, you know, everything I do in terms of making pizza and just making this business happen. It's huge. I think it's the reason why I started making pizzas, because I didn't live there anymore and couldn't find pizza that scratched that itch. So just tried to figure out how I could do it myself.
All right. So tell me about that path. You left Brooklyn when and how did you get out here?
Yeah. Parents split up when I was like 5 or 6. And I think by the time I was 7, my mom and I moved out to New Mexico. Her lifelong dream was to be a cattle rancher out west. And props to her. She did it. She's living in south, like central New Mexico with 100 head of cattle on 4-wheelers running around.
The pizza there has like roasted chilies or the hatch chilies or what?
They do. I'd say the most common pizza combo is pepperoni and hatch green chili. Yeah.
Because you say you grew up in, you're from Brooklyn, but you moved when you were 5 or 6 or 7 to New Mexico. And then so really your formative pizza years were in the Southwest.
For sure. Yeah. I would go back though every summer to New York and spend like 2-3 months with my dad in Brooklyn, running around, going to Coney Island, and like eating as much pizza and Chinese food, I would say, as possible. And I'd come back to New Mexico and be like, oh man, what am I gonna do now? I was in New Mexico about 15 years, right at the beginning of college, met my wife, Amy, and we were just an instant match.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to University of New Mexico in Albuquerque. So still in New Mexico. I had been working at that time for Apple in like retail stores, and she got into Yale for her master's program. And we were like, okay, like let's go, let's move across the country, closer to New York. So I was excited about that. And I didn't know at the time that New Haven was like such a pizza city.
And let's just cut to the chase. Are you Sally's or Pepe's?
I think I'm a Sally's person. No disrespect. No disrespect.
Never. But you like that red pie at Sally's.
For sure. Oh my goodness. Yeah. With Moots. I got to make pizza on the Yale Sustainable Farm in their wood-fired oven. I think by that time I was just like strong pizza hobbyist, you know, reading online, getting the cookbooks and stuff, following Adam Kuban's slice blog and the pizzamaking.com forums. I think those couple of years in New Haven like really kind of like helped my pizza passion blossom. So after her master's degree, she applied for a PhD program and got a fellowship out here in Portland at Portland State University. And by that time, I had quit Apple, decided I wanted to pursue a career in food. And it was like, oh, Portland, that's a great food city. So obviously, you know, let's go.
And when was this when you moved out here?
This was 2012, summer 2012.
Okay, so post-recession, still pizza-wise, there's some good pizza places out here, obviously, then, but not a ton.
Yeah. We had been out to Portland before to visit because it's a cool town. It's been great. We were familiar with Sizzle Pie when we first moved out here. And then after being here a little bit, obviously I was eager to snuff out the best pizza, or my favorite pizza, I should say. And it seemed like there was just like two places in town, either Ken's or a Pizza Shoals. And both of them great, obviously different styles. But either place, you had to like plan your whole day or week around it. You had to go on like a slower day and still kind of like wait in line or call far ahead. And it just seemed like, why is pizza so inaccessible in this city? I'm used to being, you know, at least in New York, being in a place where I could just walk down to the corner a few blocks and at least get a slice, you know. Yeah. It just kept me making pizza at home a lot. I was working in restaurants by day, or I should say by night, and then even still coming home and making pizza or making pizza on my days off in our home oven. I had a baking steel. After working a few jobs and especially getting into like fine dining and kind of trying to work my way up to that position, I was just finding myself really overwhelmed with the stress of working in that like high pressure, high caliber food environment, and also just not sure that that was where I was supposed to be. My wife Amy kind of just like convinced me in one of my weaker moments, you know, why don't you go get a job at a pizzeria? You're making pizza all the time. Maybe you'll just like be happy and you can kind of like reevaluate and figure out what you want to do. And so I walked up to Handsome Pizza, which is up in North Portland. I read about it on the Slice blog and introduced myself to Will Fain, the owner, and we just hit it off. Before I knew it, I was working a day or two a week, got a job at another pizza place and was splitting my time. And it just happened so fast. I think once I got into that industry and found people who were so passionate about pizza and making really good pizza, recognizing that folks in this city want to seek that out and find the pizza that they think is, you know, the best or it's going to be their favorite. And yeah, I think it was pretty quick once I started working in pizza places that I knew, okay, this is my thing. As soon as I got to Handsome Pizza, I saw that he was making wood-fired pizza, but he would make small 12-inch pies and 18-inch pies and serve slices out of a wood-fired oven. And that blew my mind because I had been reading and learning, you know, high temperature and a fast bake is what gets you a light, airy crust and is really important. And I'd never considered that you could sort of like merge the influence of like Neapolitan wood-fired pizza making with that sort of like East Coast thin crust big pie style. That really resonated with me, and I think it was like, okay, I got to figure out how to sort of like refine all these things that I like about pizza, and yeah, like just look around for a little space and see if it's possible to make it happen.
When did you open up here?
We opened in the summer of 2015.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Scott's going to make a pizza for us. We're going to talk details and specifics. We're also going to preview some scenes from our next show coming up in 2 weeks. So stay with us. Pizza City is brought to you by Pizza Master Ovens. You love the sound of dough being transformed into crust. But what about the dough in your pocket? If you make pizzas for a living, then you know a fully loaded oven affects heat recovery time and makes everything take longer. That affects your bottom line. Say hello to Pizza Master, the most powerful electric oven on the market. It has clay ceramic hearthstones. That means crispy crust every time. And talk about precision. You can adjust both the top and bottom heating elements to make any style of pizza, which is what Pauly G's Logan Square owner Derek Tung was looking for when deciding to add Detroit-style pizzas to his existing menu of wood-fired pies.
We started using the Pizza Masters for our Detroit-inspired Logan Squares. And, you know, really, it's all about the control. It's one of those ovens where you have the ability to control what the temperature's at, but not only that, how much heat is on the top deck, how much heat's on the bottom deck, how often they're firing. It really allows you to do almost any style you want in the oven and just tweak it by small amounts.
Plus, the ability to get up to 932 degrees combined with exceptional recovery heat allows for high capacity output during peak times. That's money in your pocket. Pizza Master offers 85 different models and thousands of combinations. They've also got demo kitchens all over the country, so go take one for a test drive. Visit mpmfoodequipment.com and use the promo code PIZZACITY to get a free swag bag at your demo. That's mpmfoodequipment.com and request your test bake or demo today. Welcome back, everybody. We are at Scotty's Pizza in Portland, Oregon. By the way, what neighborhood are we in?
We're on Division Street, and it's called Hosford Abernathy, just south of Ladd's Addition.
We're talking with Scott Rivera, owner of the namesake of Scotty's. And now, I was expecting you were going to just, you know, hand stretch a dough for me on a peel here, but you've got two situations. You've got a pan pizza, and you've got a peel you're going to probably launch under the hearth. Tell me about this pan you're doing.
Okay, so the pan pie, I call it DeFino. It's a grandma-style pie. I really just had always wanted to mess around with square pizza, but hadn't even really eaten it a bunch. I had had Sicilian slices in New York, but it always seemed like such a heavy meal because the crust is so thick. And when I started to learn about grandma pies, it just seemed like, okay, that's this is the way for me to have a square slice, get this kind of like crispy fried bottom that you get out of baking a pie in a pan.
It's a thin dough. It looked like you had a docker over it because there's some little holes on there. You had to knock the air out.
Yeah.
And then cheese first. That's the grandma style, the upside down. Is it shreds of mozzarella, it looks like?
Yep, I've got some aged mozzarella down on the dough first.
Can you say who from where?
This is Grande.
Oh, God, everybody's using Grande in town. What about, this is like fresh mozz now you're putting on top?
Yeah, this is fresh mozzarella from Narragansett Creamery, which is based in Rhode Island.
But since you were in New Haven previously, we'll say it's Mutz.
Right, I got the Mutz on the pie.
Tell me about your sauce. Can you name where?
Yeah, so the sauce is a blend of three different tomatoes. Two of them come from Bianco di Napoli. Because I really like their brightness and kind of fresh flavor with a little sweetness. And then one of the tomatoes in the sauce is Stanislaus, which I think brings a little more of that like deep, rich umami tomato flavor.
You got a large ladle, but you are placing it on very carefully into diagonal lines. Is that just a style thing?
I think so. I'm not sure where I picked that up. Probably just, seeing it around New York a little bit. I think it's kind of a fun way to distribute the sauce around the pie.
Okay. And was there anything underneath the dough before you panned it out?
Just a little oil in the pan.
Okay, you're sprinkling on some probably dried oregano or?
Yep, dried oregano on top. I feel like this sort of brings out that kind of grandma vibe. I sort of like imagine, thinking about the roots of grandma style pizza and those kind of like Italian grandmas on Sunday making the pizza for the family. It's a quick dough, just proofed for a little bit in the pan. We put our cheese on the grandma pizza all the way to the edge of the pan so it gets a little crispy. And I kind of imagine like grandma's in a hurry, she's in a rush, she's not going to matter if some of the cheese is falling off.
Or it was somebody's grandma in Detroit.
Exactly, yeah.
Grew up in Hamtramck or East Point. Okay, so on to right under the deck of the oven, you're using a Pizza Master, it looks like.
Yes, Pizza Master oven.
600 degrees.
I cook the square pies at 600. I picked this oven also because of Jeff Verrazano, this guy whose blog I'd been reading. Eventually, when he opened a place in Atlanta, I think just from a lot of pressure from family and friends, this was the oven that he picked. And it just kind of, again, stuck with me. Okay, this guy is going for heat, and he likes an electric oven. And being electric, I like it too because we don't have to store and chop wood. We're in a really small space here, but we can still get up to almost 1,000 degrees if we want to.
And so for folks at home who really care about intensity settings on a Pizza Master, just if FYI, the top here, the ceiling is at a 6, the deck is at a 2, compared to like the Pizza Master I saw at Lovely's 5050, which is a 10 on the ceiling and a 0 on the deck. But that's obviously a pizza launched directly onto the hearth, not in a pan. But now you're going to make a pizza also that's going to launch onto the hearth in the other oven here, right?
Yep.
And do you sell one of these more than the other? I'm guessing the rounds.
Well, we can only make so many of the squares. So those actually sell out oftentimes like before we're even open. People will just order them online.
Oh, because you only have 18 pans.
Yeah. A 700 gram dough ball for an 18 inch pie. This has been sitting at room temperature for quite a bit. I like to use the dough when it's like pretty loose and at a nice room temp.
And you're gonna be gentle, I'm guessing, as you handle this because it's been fermenting and you've got a lot of air built up in there and you're being a little bit gentle as you place it into the, is it just flour or is it semolina? What is it?
This is the Caputo semola flour. That's like a fine milled semolina flour.
And place it directly onto the peel, and you're gonna kind of tap it out, press it out gently, it looks like, yep. Pressing it down in the middle, kind of working it, so you're gonna keep that heel a little bit raised on the edge.
I usually do at least like one toss.
Oh, there's a toss, all right. East Coast guy here.
Yeah, I think it's that. I used to always just watch the pizza guy behind the counter, throwing the dough in the air.
Oh, this is where I wish we had video, because there's obviously technique going on here where he's working it between his hands, stretching it out to 18 inches. Beautiful, perfect sphere now on the large wooden peel. Here comes the sauce. Again, that combination of the Bianco di Napoli and the Stanislaus. Quite deep red. Doesn't look like there's a ton of seasoning in the sauce, is there?
Just a little bit of olive oil, salt, and some crushed red chili. This one's also going to be a mix of fresh and aged mozzarella.
Are you finding it's relatively easy to find the farmers, the farmstead cheesemakers or what have you out here? I mean, you know, people like, you know, Dan Richard at Rotzer always talk about his Jersey cows and like his source, and he knows all the names of their children and the names of the cows and how heavy they were when they were weighed and the temperature of the milk when it came out of the udder. But do you find that situation out here because of all the farms and like the approach to farming?
I love Dan Richer. That's a perfect description of him.
Yeah, I was making fun of him in a nice way when I interviewed Chardell over at Red Sauce. And I said, you know, he actually measures the width of those pepperonis on his pizza to like 1.75 millimeters with the caliper. I mean, that is just so Dan Richer.
Sounds about right.
Okay, so now you're going to go with the grande again, the shredded.
Yep. I mean, as far as like suppliers, there are some out here doing mozzarella. I know there's Ferndale Creamery here in the Pacific Northwest that's doing some cheese. And I definitely have some friends in the industry who like to use that. This combo just kind of like hits my taste buds, right? You know, so much of pizza is subjective.
So much is subjective and so much, you know, from the pros is weighing. Now, are you doing this for my benefit just because I'm here with a microphone, or do you normally weigh this, or what are your thoughts on weighing? And by the way, you're adding some Romano right now?
Yes, this is dried grated Pecorino Romano.
Do you weigh the cheese before you put it on?
No, I mean, every now and then I'll weigh my handful just to see kind of roughly what my food cost might be. And I don't know. I mean, if I did, I'd probably maybe be more profitable or something, but...
Who cares about that? Come on, Scott. Really? You care about profit?
I mean, we're doing fine.
You're an artist. Okay, just so you finish with a little bit of olive oil across the top.
Yeah.
Now you're going to launch it onto the top oven here, directly onto the hearth. And these have stone decks, in case you didn't know that. 720 degrees Fahrenheit, it looks like, with a 7 on the top and a 2 on the bottom. So you are baking a bit more intently from the top of the oven here.
A little bit more, yeah. I mean, in this kind of oven, since we have heating elements on the top and on the bottom, first of all, I love that we can control them separately. But so we have like deep heat heating the hearth from the bottom, but then we also have radiant heat coming down from the top, which I think is gonna sort of put what I call like superficial heat on the stones. So I sort of just, this is just the balance that we've found.
Boy, the guys at MPM Manufacturing are going to be really happy with this podcast. Okay, we're going to take a quick break while the pizzas are in the oven. When we come back, moment of truth. Two pizzas to taste this time here at Scotty's Pizza in Portland. Can't wait for it. We'll be right back.
The way that I prefer to eat pizza is by the slice, since that's what I grew up eating. I love that kind of like letting the cheese set a little bit and congeal a little bit, and then giving that crust, once a lot of the steam has come off of it, giving that crust a little extra crisp on the bottom. I just think that is the best way to eat a pizza, because you're letting some of that steam come off so you can really balance out the sort of like tender and crispy textures. For me, like, pizza is so much about texture.
Sure, if you cut this round one now, all the cheese is gonna slide off probably, huh?
Exactly.
So you're gonna let this sort of harden a little, or not harden, congeal a little bit, and then you're gonna cut it into slices, and then you're gonna put a slice on the deck again, or no?
If we were like doing it slice by slice, yes, we could do it that way. But even for all our whole pies that go out the door, we actually treat the pie like a slice in that regard. So we'll let the whole pie rest for a few minutes, and then we'll throw it back in the oven at a lower temperature and get that kind of like extra crispy bottom, and just kind of keep it nice and warm through, but the cheese has set. I think it really helps the pizza carry in a box a lot better. Probably why a lot of people tend to just, since most of our pies are to go, well, all of them at this point, I think that's why a lot of people can't kind of like our crust, because it stays crispy in the box.
New Haven, shout out here. The boys at Modern would appreciate this, because you got a bit of char here. Now, is that because this is the first pie you've baked today in this oven and it's really hot, or do you like that char?
No, yeah, this is pretty much ideal. I love to see a nice mix of black bubbles and browning on the crust in all kinds of different sizes of bubbles, larger black bubbles, and down to even like smaller brown bubbles on the crust. I think for me, that's just like a sign of really good and sort of like just interesting fermentation in the dough.
Yeah, Adam Kuban would appreciate this pie. I can tell the coloring on the top with the different cheeses, the browning, the blackening. Love how Scott checks the undercarriage on the grandma on the second bake, which was just down there for about a minute.
I think I got time to cut this one before that one comes out.
So it was a 16 by 16 square pan. You're going to get 9 slices out of this.
That's right. It's like tic-tac-toe.
All right. Here comes the round now. Slightly charred, crisp, bubbly.
Another 10 seconds.
Okay. Wasn't to your touch satisfaction?
Yeah. Definitely want it to be crispy. Can't be too crispy. If you leave it in too long, it will get darker.
You see that cheese is bubbling again now really quickly. Okay.
Yeah, now we're going to slice and finish it.
I didn't mention this, but Scott's wearing a Le Industry t-shirt. So Massimo, if you're listening, shout out to you in Williamsburg. And you're going to finish these pies inspired by a New York experience or just this is on your own?
A little bit of both. I think finding what I like and also, yeah, eating around. One pretty inspirational pie for me is the regular pie at DeFara.
Oh, so good.
So,
you're not going to hand snip the basil.
I'm not going to snip the basil.
Big handful, though, of basil.
Yeah, I like a lot of fresh basil.
And these are chopped into maybe, or sliced into maybe inch by inch or so. They're quite large pieces of basil.
Yeah.
Not a chiffonade at all.
Right. I'd say, if I had the time, I would just tear the basil leaves. But since we're putting out a lot of these every day, we just put kind of a rough chop on it.
Okay.
So the DeFino is going to get grated pecorino romano, a nice drizzle of some garlic olive oil.
Good. And then for the round, you're finishing it with anything?
Yep. This one will get shaved parm and just a lot of good olive oil.
Oh, God, I can't wait to dig into this. Okay, music interlude. Here we go. We're going to do some tasting. We'll be right back. I just continue to be impressed and amazed with Portland's pizza culture here. I know, of course, the modernist pizza folks were talking about this way back when, but Scott Rivera, this is really impressive work here. So let's start with the round. Adam, if you're listening to this, Pizza Cowboy, if you're listening to this, Arthur, you guys would dig these slices because you can fold them. The cheese, little splotches with the white fresh one versus the mozz that's on here. A little bit of sauce underneath it. Everything in proportion, everything in balance. Beautiful heel with crispy char, chewy inside, a little bit of open crumb. It's just great. Undercarriage, the way you finished it the second time on the oven.
I think being here every day that we're open, having my hands and eyes on every pie, and just being with like my wife and two great coworkers allows a lot more space for experimentation and just kind of like continuing that journey of like perfecting your pizza and finding what you like. I've probably put more work into it in this past year than, maybe ever before.
Well, in terms of the different styles here, I tend to lean more toward grandma because it's something that I don't get in the Midwest. I have to go to New York City to get a grandma-style pie. And this grandma, boy, oh boy, I'm going to say, Tommy, if you're listening to this, shout out to Sophia Pizza Shop in Midtown because I really feel like that's what I keep thinking of, that the height, the ratio, although you've got a bit more of a frico situation on the outside of these slices. But nice little open crumb in the middle, too. Good chew. And the browning across the top, you did a second bake on this as well, directly on the hearth, mm-hmm. So out of the pan. But the fact that you let it cool first a little bit, and then you finish it on the hearth. Well done, sir.
Thank you. I'm glad you like it.
Well, listen, the last question I have for you, as you probably know because you heard the show, is knowing what you know now about pizza, what would you have told yourself in 2014 before you opened up a business here to be successful?
I don't think that there's anything you can really tell somebody to fully prepare them for what it really is to own a business and have that be your entire livelihood. I think that as much as you could stress that to somebody, you really don't understand it until you're in it and sweating, following your instincts, making sure that you are holding space and time to really dedicate a lot of intention and thought and planning all along the way, not just before when you're writing a business plan or coming up with your idea, but really carrying that through in the years of operating, I think still holds just as much importance.
Well, hey, if you're a displaced New Yorker that has to travel out to Portland because your spouse gets a job out here and you're missing New York-style pizza, come to Scotty's. This has been a pleasure. So interesting hearing your story and tasting both of these styles of pizza. The pizzeria, again, is called Scotty's Pizza here in Portland. Scott Rivera, thanks so much for your time, man.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
Such a good guy. Really fun dude. Great to hang out with him on a Sunday afternoon. All right, coming up in 2 weeks, we're staying in Portland as we talk to another one of the city's young talents about her remarkable pies that, frankly, deserve more attention than they've been getting.
Portland pizza makers love to use a nice organic flour. They use thyme rather than sugar to speed along their dough, so there's going to be either the natural fermentation or a poulish or a biga involved. Really, they're bakers. They're not just pizza makers.
I'll talk to Chardell Dews, proprietor of Red Sauce, in one hell of a cute neighborhood in Portland. That's in 2 weeks on December 24th. Remember to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Tell a friend. Please rate us. Let us know what you think about the show. We're at Pizza City USA on Instagram, and our website is pizzacityusa.com. Bureaucratic wrote and performed our theme song, and here is wishing you a happy, healthy holiday season, and of course, an optimal bite ratio, always.